Blog Talk Radio.
The 3-day NFL draft event is over. We'll break down the Jets and Giants draft picks. In baseball, the Mets are rolling. They'll be playing against the Braves in just a few moments. The Mets have won 3 in a row. The New York Yankees lost their first series of the season as they fell to the Angels just a couple of hours ago, 8-4. We have all this and so much more coming your way next. This is Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. Gentlemen, welcome into another edition of Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. I am Mark Elliott.
And I am Evan Brandoff. And wow, exciting NFL draft, Mark. It's I always love the draft, as it's the one weekend of the year that even Rams fans think that they could have a chance in their draft and change expectations. I mean, even Houston Texans fans think that their team can do well this season. So
yeah, the NFL draft is very exciting, and obviously the worst teams get the better picks, which is what makes it very exciting. And we'll see what happens when this upcoming NFL season begins. We still have a while to go before that, but first of all, it was an exciting draft, like you mentioned, maybe one of the deeper drafts in a while. And first of all, as those of you guys listening may or may not know, Evan, of course, a student of Texas, and the Texas Longhorns had 6 players go into the NFL draft. First round, Earl Thomas was selected to the Seattle Seahawks. He's a cornerback. Linebacker Sergio Kindle went to Baltimore in the second round. Defensive tackle Lamar Houston went to Oakland in the second round. Wide receiver Jordan Shipley went to Cincinnati in the third round. Colt McCoy, quarterback, went to Cleveland, hopefully for the Browns. It's not another Brady Quinn. So Colt McCoy goes in the third round, and Roderick McElroy, linebacker, joins Jordan Shipley in Cincinnati. He was selected in the fourth round, so congratulations to those Texas players. You expecting good things from those guys, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, all of the defense guys, I'm expecting immediate impacts. And then Colt McCoy, you know, personally, a lot of people weren't too big on him in the NFL. Like, personally, I know his worth ethic. And, you know, I just know that all he knows how to do is win games. And I think he can make an impact for the Browns. And, you know, speaking of Colt McCoy mostly, he is just a winner. He's the most winningest player in college history. And, you know, isn't it all about winning games? It's not really about who's the prettiest. And then when you compare him to someone like, drawing a horrible blank, who just was drafted from Notre Dame, a quarterback?
Jimmy Clausen?
Yeah, Jimmy Clausen. You can compare him to someone like Jimmy Clausen. He hasn't really had a very much of a winning season. So, you know, when you look at the teams that are successful, it's generally because of the quarterback. And where the quarterback has a big part of it. And, you know, Jimmy Clausen, although he has a good arm and everyone projects him to be a good pro, you know, he's not a winner. He's been on teams that lose losing records even, and
You know, that's the difference. And I think that's why, even though Jimmy Clausen was projected to go high in a lot of people's draft boards, I think that's why it ended up going that high, because, you know, you look at his overall record, it's not that good. And, you know, that's why I thought that Colt McCoy was going to go higher in the draft. I'm surprised that it wasn't drafted till so long. And I guess it seemed like the Browns took a risk that not drafting a quarterback early, hoping that no one else would take them, and it paid off for them. But, you know, all the rest of those guys, I mean, I think Kendall's going to make an immediate impact. I think Thomas is going to make an immediate impact. Yeah, I think that, I mean, I hate seeing them go. They're all such good players. And, you know, another guy, Jordan Shipley, you know, he is one of the most, he's just always catching the ball. I honestly think he could be the next Wes Welker. And I guess maybe I say that just because he's white. But he's a great player. He's also, his work ethic is great. And going into the Bengals offense, they always seem to manufacture top receivers, and I think he's going to also make an impact. You know, I think that he can start playing this year. He's an older player. I think he's already 23 or 24 coming out of college. You know, I'd like to keep an eye on him, but I think you're going to hear about him a decent amount this year. But, you know, Penn State had six guys going to the pros, too, that are in the draft, Mark. What do you think about all them?
Yeah, I go to Penn State. Penn State did have six guys. First round, Jared Odrick, defensive tackle, going to Miami. Many people thought the Jets did express interest in Jared Odrick. People thought he would have gone to the Jets, but Miami had one pick prior to the Jets. They took Odrick, so Odrick does go to the AFC East, but not as a Jet. Sean Lee, linebacker, goes to the Dallas Cowboys. People thought the Giants had interest in Sean Lee. They passed up on him. The Giants desperately did need a linebacker, did not draft one in the early rounds. They could have taken Sean Lee. They did not. But he goes to Dallas. Navarro Bowman, linebacker, goes to San Francisco. That in the third round. Odrick was the first round. Sean Lee the second round. Bowman the third round. Then tight end Andrew Corliss went in the fifth round to Green Bay. Mickey Schuler, tight end, went in the seventh round to Minnesota. And Josh Hull, another linebacker, going to St. Louis in the seventh round. Of course, they say Penn State is linebacker U, and all three of their starting linebackers from last year got drafted. I think these guys will definitely have immediate impacts. Jared Odrick is just a great, great defensive tackle. I mean, he's so quick inside. He's a very nifty guy. He's very strong. He's very quick. Odrick should be having an immediate impact. Sean Lee is also very good. He's great in coverage, and his instincts are just fantastic. I mean, he's very quick to the ball. Sean Lee here at Penn State was, without doubt, last year a fan favorite. Sean Lee fell a little bit. I mean, he was the second pick of the second round, so he wasn't. I mean, he didn't fall too far, but could have been a first-round pick had he not blown out his knee. Sean Lee, one of the top linebackers in the draft, but clearly a fan favorite last year. He'll make an immediate impact for sure. Navarro Bowman fell a little bit. He's another linebacker because he has some off-field issues. But on the field, Navarro Bowman is fantastic. He should make an immediate impact as well in San Francisco. Andrew Quarles needs to work on his blocking ability as a tight end. He's more of a receiver. In terms of the tight end, he never really was able to perfect his blocking. We'll see if the coaches in Green Bay can help Corliss out with that, but he surely will help them in the receiving game. And, of course, Minnesota, who has Visante Shenko, who's been playing very well as a receiving tight end for the Vikings, the Packers will try and counteract that with Andrew Corliss, but Minnesota went ahead and took the other Penn State tight end in Mickey Schuler. Schuler did not have as big an impact at Penn State as Corliss did. I'm not sure what they'll do with Schuler at Minnesota. As I said, they do have Shanko, but Schuler should certainly see some time. And Josh Hull, a linebacker going to St. Louis, I think he'll make an immediate impact as well. I mean, Penn State's always been great at defense. They've always produced great linebackers, so I think their linebackers will make an immediate impact. And then, of course, Jared Odrick, who went in the first round, should make an immediate impact too. So the Penn Staters that went in the draft,
Just like the Texas guys who went in the draft, I think will do just fine in the NFL and will make immediate impact. So very exciting to see what they can do. I wish the Giants had drafted Sean Lee, but they did not. But I'll have to get over it. But very, very exciting stuff.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, I wish the Jets drafted a guy from Texas, so in the same boat with that. I'm a little bit confused with the Jets draft day. I'm not just saying who they drafted. I'm saying the draft day in total. I'm not that happy, to tell you the truth. They made some questionable moves.
Go ahead.
Yeah, of course. I'm not sure if you know.
You probably do. Of course, they dropped Leon Washington and Alan. Well, they traded Leon Washington and they dropped Alan Faneca. Leon Washington, last year at the beginning of the season, he was arguably the most athletic player on the Jets. So versatile. Able to run the ball well, receive. Was a great kick returner. And yes, he did get injured, and it's very possible that he's not going to be the same person again, but, you know, even if he's slightly worse, he's still so fast, so explosive, great guy. But no more, now they don't have him anymore. And then, Alan Faneca, a 9-year vet, almost always goes to the Pro Bowl, and we drop him. And, you know, yes, I understand maybe he's eating up a lot of salary, but, you know, that's someone that's, I think, was making a positive impact, not only on the field, but in the I almost said dugout, but so I was looking at my fantasy baseball team, in the locker room, too. He's someone that, you know, you need guys like that in your locker room, and now the Jets are getting very young, which can be good, but at the same time, it's proven that you need some veterans in your team to kind of have that ordinary presence. And yes, they could just get LT, but LT hasn't been a Jet. He's coming just from San Diego, where he was a part of that team for how many years? Probably almost 10. I don't even know. But, you know, I don't like that at all. And then pretty much you're drafting this guy, Vladimir Dukase. I want to say that's how you pronounce his name. Vladimir Dukase out of UMass. He's very good. He's very, very good. And they expect him to be able to replace Faneca. And Faneca, in all honesty.
Listen, first of all, the skill level playing at UMass, they did not have a very challenging schedule. It's not, you can't even compare it to the schedule of the NFL. Second of all, this kid didn't start playing football until he got to high school.
There's a lot of players like that.
Yes, but you're going to tell me that this kid is going to be able to produce a veteran who always makes the Pro Bowl?
Faneca makes the Pro Bowl a lot, but in all honesty, he's not really a Pro Bowl guard. I mean, Faneca was decent, but overall, and in terms of what the Jets were expecting out of Faneca when they drafted him, Faneca performed below expectations. I mean, he really did. They would not just release a player if they didn't feel that. I mean, it's not like they traded him away. I mean, they flat out released him. The Jets have not been happy at all with the play of Faneca.
Yeah,
and Pro Bowl selections have to do with the fans. It has nothing to do with the teams. Faneca did not really deserve his Pro Bowl selections. He wasn't that good, and they're expecting a lot in Dukase, who's very athletic. Now, he's a tackle, and they're going to want to expect him to move into guard, and they feel he can. But I wouldn't be too upset. I mean, the Jets would not flat-out drop a player if they felt he was playing up to expectations, and Faneca was not doing that.
Another thing, we drafted two running backs. Joe McKnight out of USC, a running back, and then John Connor in the fifth round.
Connor's
a fullback.
He's a fullback, yes.
And I understand we want to have a run-heavy offense, but do we really need four running backs?
Well, don't consider Connor a running back. Connor is a fullback. Connor will not ever line up in the running back position. He's your lead blocker. He's your extra blocker on certain plays. Connor is a fullback.
But LT, you know, you have to remember, you don't know what you're going to get out of LT anymore because he's not the same LT he was, and you have a very young Sean Green. And then, I mean, now you have Joe McKnight, and what the Jets have done is, you know, they had three running backs before. They had Thomas Jones, Leon Washington, and Sean Green. And the Jets, again, felt they wanted to have a, kind of a three-running-back offense going. So they have LT. They traded away Leon Washington, which I agree was somewhat questionable. I really like Leon Washington. I think Leon Washington is a great player, but they traded him away. Okay.
Can you tell me how Leon Washington was traded away for a seventh-round pick?
He was traded for a fifth-round pick.
I thought
that William
Washington was more valuable than that.
I agree, but it was weird because a lot of people who you thought were worth a lot, some receivers, you know, before the draft were being traded just for fifth round draft picks. We saw a lot of receivers just kind of floating around getting traded for value that we thought they had higher value, but they didn't. But Leon Washington, as you said, he's very versatile. He can return kicks. He can run. He can catch. He can do everything. I mean, Leon Washington is a great player, but he's gone. Sean Green, the thing, you know, I mentioned this actually a while ago, Evan, and I think this is the issue. Sean Green's obviously a younger player than Leon Washington. What I was trying to explain a few weeks ago, I know I mentioned it, is that Leon Washington and Sean Green are very similar backs. So they're both kind of the speed back. You know, Thomas Jones provided more of the inside type of running back, and Leon Washington and both Sean Green are both the speedy guys who can get to the outside. So they didn't feel that they needed two of those. So they traded Leon Washington. Did they get enough for Leon Washington? You know, maybe not. But they didn't feel they needed two types of the same back, and Sean Green is much younger and has shown his potential. So they went with Sean Green. You know, Joe McKnight, his success came as a perimeter runner, too, so you can argue that they still have the same type of thing going. And, of course, USC last year did not have a fantastic year. I mean, Joe McKnight did pretty well and has good speed, but he's also a perimeter runner, so you can argue that they're the same. But, I'm not sure entirely what the Jets' thinking was, but they now have the kind of the three running back thing. Again, they have LT who can power over guys and also has speed. And then they have the two speedy guys and new drafty Joe McKnight and Sean Green.
And now, tell me this. Why, instead of trading away a seventh-round draft pick and a fifth-round draft pick, why did you get rid of Leon Washington and get someone who's arguably the same, if that's the case?
Yeah, it's tough to say. You know, I haven't seen Joe McKnight play enough. Obviously, the Jets had some sort of logic behind it.
He is at USC, so maybe Mark Sanchez said, "Oh, this guy, we have to have him. He's awesome."
It would be a very poor choice on the part of the Jets if they based their draft picks around what their quarterback wanted. I mean, it just doesn't. It doesn't really make any sense.
Do they trust Mark Sanchez?
Well, I'm sure they trust Mark Sanchez, but I mean, If the Jets didn't feel they needed a running back, they weren't going to take a running back. And I mean, obviously, you want your players to be happy, but it's hard to think that Mark Sanchez actually had an impact on the fact that the Jets made a trade and then drafted a running back. It doesn't really make too much sense. But we'll see. I mean, it's not like it's a wide receiver. I mean, Mark Sanchez would only be handing it off to him. I mean, he could pass it to him, but it's not really the same as if it was a wide receiver. If he had good chemistry with a wide receiver, it kind of makes more sense than with a running back. I mean, quarterbacks and running backs don't necessarily have, you know, chemistry. I mean, they could, but it's not really the same situation. They do, but it's not really the same as a quarterback and a wide receiver. I mean, you don't think of a duo, you know, you think of nice duos, you know, like Eli Manning and Plaxico Burress, they had a great duo. Or, you know, Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison, but you never think of quarterback running back duos, really. So it's not really the same. Did it have an effect?
What are you
maybe,
talking
but
about? Last year, Mark Sanchez to Thomas Jones was a very dynamic duo. I edge the ball off a lot.
I don't really think it works like that, but you know, it's hard to say if Mark Sanchez had an impact. I honestly doubt it, but you never know. But the Jets' overall draft, you know, they have Cromartie and Darrell Revis, and they went ahead and drafted Kyle Wilson, a corner, who obviously can help them out in nickel packages or any other time when the Jets feel they want to put some extra defensive backs on the field. And the Jets are going to be a very tough team to pass against, obviously, with Cromartie and Revis, and now adding Kyle Wilson. And then they went ahead. We talked about Ducasse, who they hope can replace Alan Faneca. And again, Faneca was flat-out released because they were upset with his performance. And we'll see what happens with Joe McKnight and John Connor. Connor is, you know, he's just a fullback. I mean, that's what he is. He's a lead blocker kind of guy. He doesn't really have much else, but you know, you want to get some good blocking, and that's what they have. They added the tackle in Ducasse, and they added John Connor, the fullback, to get some extra blocking. I wouldn't really be too concerned with the New York Jets at all, and we will continue this discussion after the update with the sports world's most popular encyclopedia, Alan Moore.
This update is brought to you by SportsHeavenRadio.com, the official site of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Log on to SportsHeavenRadio.com every Sunday night at 8 for the best sports radio show the internet can handle. The Yankees lost their first series of the season by falling to the Angels 8-4 today out in Anaheim. Javier Vasquez had another poor performance as he falls to 1-3 after giving up 5 runs in 3 2/3 innings. The Yankees will travel to Baltimore for a 3-game set with the Orioles starting Tuesday night. Sunday night baseball out in Citi Field, the Mets will look to complete a 3-game sweep of the Atlanta Braves by sending Mike Pelfrey to the mound, while Atlanta will counter with Tommy Hansen. Currently in the top of the first, the Braves have the bases loaded with one out. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Phoenix Coyotes force Game 7 by beating the Red Wings 5-2 in Detroit. Game 7 will be Tuesday night in Phoenix. And at 9, the Canucks, holding a 3-2 lead in their series, will look to eliminate the Kings in Game 6 of their series. In the NBA playoffs, the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics 109-92 to take a 3-1 series lead. Dwayne Wade led all scorers with 46 points. The Heat can close out the series Tuesday night in Boston. The Cavs are 1 game away from advancing to the second round after routing the Bulls 121-98. LeBron James had a triple-double with 37 points, 12 boards, and 11 assists. And at the half down in San Antonio, the Mavericks will look to avoid falling to a 3-1 deficit as they lead the Spurs in game number 4, 48-37 at the half. And at 9:30, the Jazz host the Nuggets in game 4 of their series. Utah leads 2-0. Be sure to follow Sports Heaven on Twitter for more information about upcoming guests. Just log on to twitter.com/sportsheaven. We'll take a quick timeout. Mark and Evan will be back after these messages from the Long Island Exchange. I'm Alan Moy, and you're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan.
So you're looking for a great club, but you don't really want to go into Manhattan. Or maybe you have a date and you want to try a new restaurant. Or possibly you're looking to buy a house here on Long Island and you want to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find all this information in just one spot? Well, there is a spot. It's called LongIslandExchange.com. LongIslandExchange.com is all you need to find out all you want about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Long Island Hotspots. Long Island Community Events. Long Island Classifieds. Long Island News. Long Island People. LongIslandExchange.com. It's designed with only the Long Islander in mind. And the best part, you decide what you want to know. Just post your message and let other Long Islanders help you out. That easy. So check out LongIslandExchange.com to meet new people, see new places. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again with LongIslandExchange.com.
Welcome back to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan, currently talking about the New York Jets draft. And Evan, I just want to give you my final note here. And here's, you know, the Jets are going to be very, very good this year. Mark Sanchez has a year under his belt. He's experienced. I think he'll do fine. LT, with the change of scenery, I think will have a good year.
with Joe McKnight and Sean Green helping out. We'll see how Ducasse does in the offensive. I guess they will probably attempt to move him to guard, and Kyle Wilson will only help out what is already a dominant secondary of the New York Jets. And what that big secondary does is allows Rex Ryan to continue to blitz guys and put a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And Rex Ryan and the entire Jets team will have a lot of confidence in those corners to be able to cover receivers, and they'll be very confident to send more people to blitz. And I think the Jets will be very, very successful, go deep into the playoffs. I mean, it's only April, but I can certainly say possible Super Bowl contenders for sure. You may not be too happy with the Jets draft overall, but honestly, I think they did some good things. They weren't happy with Faneca, so they got a replacement for him. They have a 3 running back set, which I guess is what they're looking for. The trade with Leon Washington, questionable, but we'll see how it works out. And I think the Jets are in for a very, very successful year.
Now, there's a couple of things that scare me.
Okay.
First of all, Mark Sanchez. Yeah, you don't know. Yes, he seemed to be gets very good towards playoff time, and you hope that he improves, but you never know. It's possible that a rookie quarterback has some success, and then is atrocious the next season. It's happened many times in the past.
Well, Mark Sanchez wasn't fantastic last year. In fact, as the season progressed, he got worse. He didn't throw that many interceptions. He was good in the playoffs. The Jets did well in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, just one game away from the Super Bowl. But still, I mean,
a quarter and a half away from the Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, but I don't think Mark Sanchez is really in a position to drop off. I mean, he's very mobile. He's got a very strong arm. I don't think he's in any situation where he's going to drop off. And is it possible? Yeah, but that shouldn't be something that scares you. One of the things that scares you should not be the thought that Mark Sanchez will become worse.
It doesn't scare me, but it's a definite possibility.
It's a definite possibility? I wouldn't say it's a definite possibility. I don't know why you don't have the confidence in Mark Sanchez.
What's the difference
you're
between a possibility and a definite possibility?
I don't know. I feel adding the word definite makes it much stronger.
It is a possibility. Definitely.
All right, we'll go on.
All right. And other than that, assuming he is green, another thing that could possibly hurt the Jets is two more things, actually. One, all these new guys they're bringing in. You know, something that is the key to a successful team is having a great chemistry on and off the field. And that's what the Jets had. Last year, they were one unit. And bringing in so many new people to this unit, someone like Jason Taylor, who during the offseason goes and does Dancing with the Stars, or, you know, LT, who's also another older player, you know, something like that could hurt the team chemistry. Another thing that can hurt the team chemistry, and the third thing, is bringing in someone like Santonio Holmes, who just committed another crime, suspended for the first 2 games of the season. And between him and Braylon Edwards, you know, they could get into off-the-field trouble, and that's not something you want in an organization. So, a bunch of things that could hinder the advancement of the Jets. And one more thing, is even though we're expecting big things from Sean Green, you never know. How many games did he actually play in last year? He was good in the playoffs. During the regular season, Thomas Jones was definitely the star running back. And we don't have Thomas Jones anymore. And he was definitely a big key to why Sean Green was so successful. Because he tired out the defense. And then Sean Green would come in and run be able to get to the outside and get a lot of yards. So hopefully LP can do that same thing that Thomas Jones did. But, you know, every single year people were down on Thomas Jones. He's getting older, reached the 30 mark, reached the 31 mark, and he's not going to be as good any, more. And, you know, every single year he came and he did his job and he did a good job. So these are a few things that the Jets fans should be worried about.
Well, first of all, somebody saying in the chat room, and I agree, is that the one thing that you need to worry about right now is the wide receiving core. And you mentioned Braylon Edwards with possible off-field issues. But the Jets, they added Santonio Holmes, and they still don't necessarily have, you know, a great wide receiving core. So that's one thing to worry about. But the things you're worrying about, Evan, are just very odd things. You just have this pessimistic outlook where you're afraid that Mark Sanchez might drop off, and you're having this, well, you never know, Sean Green might not, you know, be this great running back. Well, I mean, you can't just have these assumptions based on pretty much nothing. I mean, Sean Green has shown some great things, and Mark Sanchez was in the AFC Championship game last year. So I don't know why you're just all of a sudden thinking randomly that they're going to drop off and bring in new players. To say it's just going to ruin the team chemistry, I mean, they'll get along with their new teammates. I mean, it's not really going to be that big of an issue. As a Jets fan, if there's one thing you're worried about the wide receiving core, but to worry about new guys ruining team chemistry or the possibility with no backing it up that Mark Sanchez or Sean Green might fall off, it's just not something that you can really be worried about until you actually see it happen. But you can't make the assumption that Sean Green and Mark Sanchez will not perform up to expectations, because it's not based on anything.
Mark, you're changing my words. I said it's possibilities. I'm not saying it's going
well,
to
well, obviously it's a possibility. Anything's a possibility. It's possible that Mark Sanchez will throw 20 interceptions a game next year, but it's probably not going to happen.
I'm just saying that I don't think that it's a good thing to rely on such a young team to be able to make a Super Bowl run. And everyone's saying, oh, the Jets are going to be in the Super Bowl. And yes, I would love for that to happen, being a Jet fan. But, you know, it's a bunch of second-year players that are having a big impact on this team. So,
well, they're a young team, but in terms of their team last year and this year, I don't think it's gotten worse. I mean, LT they brought in as a veteran. Cromartie is fine. I mean, these are experienced players. Santonio Holmes, Braylon Edwards. I mean, you can worry about Mark Sanchez if you want because he's young, but he obviously got a lot of experience last year getting to an AFC Championship game. He played very well. I mean, I wouldn't be too worried about this Jets team at all. I mean, they have a lot going for them.
Well, people also have to keep in mind, Mark, that last year, if the Colts played the full game in week 16 of the season, they just wouldn't have made the playoffs. If the Bengals didn't want to give up too much information in week 17 of the regular season, and they could have played harder, the Jets may not have made the playoffs. You know, so yes, they did go on a great run in the playoffs and played spectacular, but you know, the Bengals didn't make the playoffs.
That's true. It is true,
they were successful in the playoffs, but they could have just as easily not made the playoffs, and no one would have thought of the Jets of being this good, even though they made these offseason moves. You know, let's say they didn't make the playoffs, Mark, and they made the same moves this offseason that they did. Are you going to tell me that you're as high, that you would be as high on the Jets as you are right now?
I suppose not, but the fact is, they did make the playoffs, and they ended up making a run in the playoffs. They didn't lose in the first round of the playoffs, and they proved that they could contend with the top teams in the NFL. That's what they did by making the playoffs. When they got to the playoffs, they were playing the best teams in the NFL, and they almost beat all of them. They just lost to the Colts. But, I mean, they were able to contend with top teams last year, and I don't think their team has gotten worse this year. I think it's only improved. So with keeping that in mind, there's no reason that they can't do it again.
Another difference is last year in the playoffs, they're huge underdogs every game.
That's fine. That's okay. It doesn't matter if you're an underdog.
The favorites.
Well,
last year they had nothing to lose. They can go and play their hearts out. They have nothing to lose. Now, this year, all of a sudden, when you're a favorite, it's a completely different game. When you're expected to win, it's different than when you no one expects you to win.
Well, we'll see if they can adjust to the pressure. I mean, if that's one of the worries you have, that's possible. Obviously, the expectations for the Jets are high. Can they play under the pressure of having high expectations? That's something that we'll have to see. Maybe that's something the young players will have a tough adjustment to, but I think Rex Ryan will be able to keep these guys intact, and I think Rex Ryan can bring this team to the Super Bowl this year. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. But we have a lot of time.
Another thing, Rex Ryan, he's a second-year head coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's all inexperienced people. So, would I love for the Jets to make a Super Bowl run? Yes. But if they even, you know, get knocked out the first round of the playoffs, would I be surprised at all? No. So, that's...
All right, well... We will wait and see come August, or August when the preseason begins, and then the season will kick off in September. It'll be very exciting, but as a Jets fan, I wouldn't really be too worried. I just wouldn't.
They have 5 primetime games, 5 out of the 11 announced. So,
all right.
It's pretty crazy. It's pretty awesome.
They're expecting a lot. Well, anyway... We've spent a long time on the Jets, so let's move into the Giants quickly before we have the next update. And the Giants had a couple of more picks than the New York Jets. The Giants in the first round selected Jason Pierre-Paul. And, of course, the Giants love drafting defensive ends. They did it again. And Pierre-Paul is supposed to be an amazing athlete. And I usually try, even though the Giants didn't need a defensive end, I always trust the Giants when they draft defensive ends because they always do really well at that. Umenyiora was drafted by the Giants. I don't know what happened last year, but Umenyiora is still a great defensive end. The Giants say they're not going to trade him. So, you know, Umenyiora was drafted. Tuck was drafted. Even back in the day, Michael Strahan was drafted. I mean, the Giants have always drafted good defensive ends. Kiwanuka maybe is a defensive end they drafted that was not so great. You know, they've moved him to linebacker. They've moved him all around. But I usually trust the Giants when they draft defensive ends. And Pierre-Paul is supposed to be an amazing athlete. Obviously, the Giants like him. And when the Giants like a defensive end, it's usually a pretty good defensive end. So they went ahead and did that. And again, you know, the Giants' biggest weakness coming into the draft was a linebacker. And I was really under the impression that they'd get one early. They didn't draft the linebacker till the fourth round. As I said earlier, I was hoping they would draft Sean Lee, not just because Sean Lee went to Penn State and I go to Penn State, but because Sean Lee was legitimately one of the top linebackers in the draft. I mean, Sean Lee's a fantastic athlete. And to make matters worse, he's in the division. He went to the Cowboys, so now the Giants have to face up against him. But they also drafted a defensive tackle. I mean, their first two picks were questionable because they were guys on the defensive line, and the Giants' defensive line is usually pretty good. Although, granted, in the middle, they're starting to tail off a little bit. So they did go with Linville Joseph out of East Carolina at defensive tackle. And again, the Giants, I mean, when you talk about the Giants' defense, and, you know, over the past few years, how they've had, you know, a great defense and their Super Bowl run, it was their defense. It was really their defensive line that was great. So I always trust the Giants when they draft defensive linemen. So, you know, that was pretty good. Their secondary, they drafted Chad Jones because Kenny Phillips is coming off an injury. They don't know how Kenny Phillips will be able to recover. The injury he had last year was actually career-threatening. They expect Kenny Phillips to make a recovery. Kenny Phillips supposedly right now is fine, but they're not really sure. So they went ahead and drafted Chad Jones out of LSU, another safety. Chad Jones, I was able to see play in person. He went to LSU. I went to the Capital One Bowl game where Penn State defeated LSU in January. So I got to see a little bit of Chad Jones. The field was really sloppy, though, so I didn't really get a good feel for things. But Chad Jones... should certainly help them out. Then finally in the fourth round, they got linebacker Philip Dillard out of Nebraska. And, you know, they say he's got great instincts. He's a good tackler, which is something the Giants have certainly struggled with over the years, is making tackles. So they say he's a good tackler. He did have some leg injuries, but Phyllis Dillard, I think, overall was a very good pick. I just would have preferred the Giants take a linebacker earlier because linebacker is something they really struggle with. I mean, the only other linebackers they have is Chase Blackburn, Jonathan Goff, and Jarris Wilkinson. I mean, they're really struggling at depth at linebacker. I really wish they drafted a top-notch linebacker earlier in the draft, but they didn't. But they ended up getting Phillip Dillard. Then the offensive line really struggled last year. In the Super Bowl year, the offensive line was really well, and the offensive line from 2007 to last year was really the same group of guys, but unfortunately they're aging a little bit. They didn't have a great year last year, so they went ahead in the fifth round and drafted Mitch Petras out of Arkansas. They say he can move well and he's very strong, which I guess is what you want in a guard, so we'll see what kind of impact he has with the Giants. Adrian Tracy, they went ahead in the sixth round and got another linebacker, which of course is big. So hopefully Adrian Tracy can make an impact. And then they drafted Matt Dodge, a punter, because Jeff Fiegels is having some physical issues. They think Jeff Fiegels, supposedly he's announcing his retirement next week. That's something I'm pretty upset about. What?
They just got Jai.
They got that Australian rules player or whatever, that punter, but they went ahead and drafted a punter too, which also is questionable because, as you said, they did sign that Australian punter not too long ago, and again, they definitely need some help on the defensive side, certainly at linebacker. They could have used the amount of picks they had. They could have used all those picks, maybe gotten another linebacker or something, or maybe someone else on the defensive line, maybe even another corner, because the corners are even struggling a little bit for the Giants. The draft the punter is a little odd, but we'll see. It's 8:41 in the East. We'll break down the Giants a little more after the Sports Encyclopedia. Alan Moy gives the update.
This update is brought to you by SportsHeavenRadio.com, the official site of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Log on to SportsHeavenRadio.com every Sunday night at 8 for the best sports radio show the internet can handle. The Yankees fell to the Angels 8-4 to lose their first series of the season. They fell 2-1 to Los Angeles. Javier Vasquez had another bad performance as he falls to 1-3 after giving up 5 runs in 3 2/3 innings. The Yankees will travel to Baltimore for a 3-game set with the Orioles starting on Tuesday night. Sunday night baseball at Citi Field, the Mets lead the Braves 1-0 in the top of the second. The Mets will look to complete a 3-game sweep of the Braves with Mike Pelfrey on the mound, while Atlanta counters with Tommy Hansen. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Coyotes force Game 7 by beating the Red Wings 5-2 in Detroit. Game 7 will be Tuesday night in Phoenix. And at 9, the Canucks, holding a 3-2 lead in their series, will look to eliminate the Kings in Game 6. In the NBA playoffs, the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics 101-92 to take a 3-1 series lead. Dwayne Wade led all scorers with 46 points. The Heat can close out their series Tuesday night in Boston. The Cavs are 1 game away from advancing to the second round after routing the Bulls 121-98. LeBron James had a triple-double with 37 points, 12 boards, and 11 assists. At the half, or down in San Antonio, the Mavericks will look to avoid falling to a 3-1 deficit as they lead the Spurs in Game 4, 57-55 late in the third quarter. And at 9:30, the Jazz host the Nuggets in Game 4 of their series. Utah leads 2-1. Be sure to follow Sports Heaven on Twitter for more information about upcoming guests. Just log on to twitter.com/sportsheaven. Back to you guys.
Thank you, Alan, and you're welcome to stay right there. I'll bring you in a second, as I want to continue talking about the Giants here. And again, you know, drafting the punter was questionable because of the fact that they signed one a few weeks back and the fact, you know, someone's saying in the chat room that they could have gotten one through free agency, which is very true. Matt Dodge, you know, this was halfway through the seventh round. I mean, was it even guaranteed that Matt Dodge would get drafted at all? I mean, they could have signed him as an undrafted free agent. Who knows? But they chose to draft a punter. They could have gotten another linebacker. And overall with the Giants, you know, again, the one thing that's really upsetting me, I know I said it a bunch of times already, is the fact that they did not get a linebacker earlier. I'm not happy with the Giants' linebacking crew. And, I mean, again, you never know what linebackers will be bust or not. You know, I don't know if the Giants felt in one way or another that maybe those top-notch linebackers would not do too well because they did not choose to draft any of them. They waited till the fourth round. But the Giants, at least for me this year, they're a concern for me. You know, I'm not expecting as good a year for the Giants as I am for the Jets. You know, Eli Manning is fine. Hopefully, we'll see what happens with all the young wide receivers that have another year under their belt. We'll see what Manningham can provide. We'll see what Hakeem Nicks can provide. We'll see if Ramsey's Barden, who didn't play last year, he was on Sports 7 way back in the day after he was, after last year's draft, we did have Ramsey's Barden on this show. Unfortunately, he didn't really play at all last year. We'll see if they feel Ramsey's Barden is ready to make an impact this year, as he is 6'6". He's got huge hands, so we'll see if Ramsey's Barden can make a, we'll see if he can make an impact. But overall, I mean, the Giants defense is concerning. You know, I'm not sure what to expect from their corners. The safeties, we'll see if Kenny Phillips can make a field recovery, or we'll see what happens with their, you know, with their draft pick in getting Chad Jones. And then, of course, Brandon Jacobs last year had a bad year. The running game overall last year was bad for the Giants. So hopefully for the Giants, the running backs can make a full recovery. And again, as I said before, the offensive line struggled last year. I mean, a lot of things struggled with the Giants last year. We'll need to see if things start clicking. I'm not really sure. What do you think, Evan? Evan? Nothing?
Lost him.
Alan?
Yep.
Go ahead. What do you think? I don't know where Evan is. I can't...
We must have lost him. I felt the Giants would get a C-plus during the draft, of course. I felt they should have drafted a middle linebacker in round two. Of course, they had Penn State's Sean Lee available. They were a few spots ahead. They could have drafted him. Darryl Washington of TCU is another one, and also Brandon Spikes of Florida. Three really talented linebackers the Giants could have drafted. Instead, they went after Joseph, another defensive tackle, when they already have Barry Cofield and, of course, Chris Canty already as their tackles. And I can't believe they actually drafted Joseph instead of Sean Lee. But we'll have to see, because Jerry Reese, for the past few years, has been known for drafting players very well. So with him at the helm, I think the Giants might have made the right choice, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Evan, what do you think of the Giants as we now have you back?
You know, I think they had a very solid draft. But one thing, just to clarify my point before about the Jets, just using the Giants as an example, they won the Super Bowl a few years ago, right?
Yes.
That is correct. At least that's how I remember it.
And they went on a great run in the playoffs. Their defense was great. Everyone thought that they were going to be great for the next few years, too. Like, what did they have to lose? And they had a great rushing, and they also were great on defense. And then what happened? They won the Super Bowl the next few years. You know, Brandon Jacobs, his productivity went down a little bit. The rushing game got a little bit worse, and their defense got worse. And what happened? I mean, they got worse. Last year they didn't even make the playoffs. So,
well, Plaxico Burress also shot himself in the leg, which was a huge detriment to the offense. And also Imani Toomer retired. And those were two big wide receivers that Eli Manning had to throw to. Imani Toomer did have a couple of drops, but overall Imani Toomer usually came through pretty clutch. Plaxico Burress was able to draw double coverage, and the entire offense just worked differently with Plaxico Burress' presence. And once Plaxico Burress was gone, it completely changed the entire Giants dynamic offensively, because each wide receiver was able to get single covered, and they were less experienced, and they couldn't really do as much. I mean, the entire dynamic of the Giants offense had changed. And the Jets, it's not really the same situation. They've only added
good wide receivers such as Antonio Holmes. It's really the same guy. They didn't lose a number one. If anything, they added a number one. I mean, the Giants lost two huge wide receivers. And defensively, they were fine defensively. Obviously, last year they had a lot of injuries. I mean, the loss of Antonio Pierce was big. But the Giants and Jets, you can't really compare them because the Giants ended up losing a lot of players and a lot of guys got hurt. The Giants and Jets are not really in the same situation.
Yeah, you can't tell me that the difference of one player in Plaxico Burress is the difference between a Super Bowl team and a team not making the playoffs.
Well, it's pretty close. I mean, they also Michael Strahan was on the Super Bowl team, and Michael Strahan ended up retiring too. I mean, the Giants lost a lot of key guys. They lost their number one wide receiver, and really their number two wide receiver too. Imani Toome was their number two. Steve Smith was number three, and they lost arguably the best defensive end to play the game. I mean, they really lost a lot of talent. The Jets are not in that same situation at all. I mean, it's not even close.
Two out of the three of those guys retired. I mean, they were old. They didn't have enough in the tank anymore.
Well, I don't understand why that's relevant. Michael Strahan was a great player, and so was Imani Toomer, despite the fact they retired. Imani Toomer obviously diminished a little bit, but Imani Toomer still came through in the clutch. And Michael Strahan was still a great defensive end. I mean, he could have still played another year. It wasn't like saying, oh, you look at Michael Strahan, you're like, oh, man, he's really declined. Michael Strahan was still a fantastic defensive end. I mean, the Giants lost a lot of guys. The Jets did not really lose anybody. I mean, Leon Washington is now gone, but that's not really, I mean, that huge of an issue. I mean, Leon Washington is not the key to success, and they brought in LaDainian Tomlinson. Fanica wasn't very good. Fanica was flat-out released. He was not performing to the Jets' expectations. If he was, then he wouldn't have been released. Fanica was not playing well. Thomas Jones is gone, but they have LaDainian Tomlinson, who he's declined a little bit the last couple of years, but a change of scenery could really help LaDainian Tomlinson. It wasn't that long ago we were talking about the dominance of LaDainian Tomlinson and what a fantastic running back he is, and there's no reason he still can't be that, and the change of pace and going to the Jets could certainly help him. LaDainian Tomlinson is not going to be non-existent from the Jets. LaDainian Tomlinson is going to help the Jets significantly.
Okay.
The Jets, you cannot compare the Jets and Giants. The Giants lost their best offenses and best defensive weapons. The Jets did not do that.
Well, another thing you guys forgot is that the Giants also changed defensive coordinators. Remember, they lost Steve Spagnuolo to the Rams, and they had to promote Bill Sheridan to be their defensive coordinator. And before that, even without Michael Strahan and without O.C. Umenyora, who lost the full season because of an injury, the Giants played amazingly in 2008, and they actually had an 11-1 record to start the season. But, of course, Plaxico Burress thing, they changed defensive coordinators, and then the defense struggled. So you also have to look at whoever is running your defense.
That's a very good point, too. You're right, I forgot to mention that, but the loss of Steve Spagnuolo was absolutely huge. The Giants' defensive players fit perfectly into Steve Spagnuolo's scheme, and they did not fit well in Bill Sheridan's at all. And Bill Sheridan tried to do similar things, but obviously things did not click under Bill Sheridan. It was a huge, huge difference. Great point, Alan.
And also another thing is that they didn't bowl well with some of the players. As you remember, during preseason last year, O.C. Umenyora got into a fight with him and actually left camp. So, and now with him gone, hopefully Perry Fuel will change that mentality in the locker room and on the field of play.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts, Evan?
Fair enough.
Fair enough, that's it.
I mean, the Giants had a solid draft.
Yeah, I mean, they had a decent draft. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, they had a decent draft. Again, I just wish they had a linebacker earlier, and Alan said the same thing when we lost you for a minute there. They had a chance to get a top-notch linebacker. They passed up on it, and we'll see what the Giants can do. Again, the offensive line will have to step up. It's now time for those young receivers to shine. I mean, I knew the Giants were not going after a wide receiver. They have plenty of depth at the wide receiver position. You know, Steve Smith is great. He was there the Super Bowl year. So I'm sure, you know, he'll continue to be great. He'll still be continue to be Eli Manning's top target.
Steve Smith is great?
Yes, Steve Smith is great. He's great. He makes a lot of catches. He's very clutch. Eli Manning loves going to him on third down. He's great. He's a great wide receiver. I think he's very good. I mean, he's a little small.
Maybe. Great. How can you call him great? Great is a strong word, Mark. If he's great, what's Reggie Wayne?
There can't be different levels of great.
No. Great is a very good word.
All right. Well, he has a Super Bowl ring, if that helps. But all right, fine. Steve Smith is a very good wide receiver. We'll see if Mario Manningham can improve. Hakeem Nicks, last year's first-round draft pick for the Giants, he'll have to step up. And again, we'll see if Ramsey Barden can step up. A lot of wide receivers trying to prove what they can do, and we'll see if that happens. And defensively, well, again, with the new defensive coordinator, like Alan said, we'll see what happens with them. They have a lot of talent there, and we'll see if they can use it. The secondary is an issue, and also I'm very interested to see the linebackers because there's really not a lot of those. I'm curious to see what Philip Dillard and Adrian Tracy, this year's draft picks for the Giants, I'm curious to see what they can do. But I don't have the same expectations for the Giants as I do for the Jets. The Giants could be a playoff team, but it's very tough. I think right now the Cowboys are the favorite to win the NFC East. You know, the Redskins, even with Donovan McNabb, are not going to be too great. And the Eagles losing Donovan McNabb, I think, will be significantly worse. So I think the Cowboys will win the NFC East, and then we'll see what the Giants, if the Giants can make a run in the wild card. But
Why do you think that the Eagles losing McNabb will hurt the Eagles more than it'll benefit Washington getting him?
First of all, losing Donovan McNabb, I think, was big. I know Eagles fans, for whatever reason, did not like Donovan McNabb. In my opinion, Donovan McNabb is one Super Bowl ring away from being a Hall of Fame quarterback. Donovan McNabb is a good quarterback, and losing him is going to hurt the Reds. It's going to hurt the Eagles.
Mark, Donovan McNabb is good, but Steve Smith is great.
All right. Stop taking these words too literally, all right? Listen, Donovan McNabb, again, as I said, I just told you, he's one Super Bowl ring away from a Hall of Fame quarterback, okay? That's great, isn't it? He's a quarterback that's a Super Bowl ring away from making the NFL Hall of Fame, and the Redskins getting Donovan McNabb helps them, but I don't think they have enough offensive weapons. Donovan McNabb has nobody to throw the ball to, so the Redskins are not going to be that much better with Donovan McNabb. The Cowboys are very good. I think they have a lot of weapons. They'll win the East, and we'll see what happens with all the Giants' question marks. Maybe they will surprise us, but I don't know.
Wow. I mean, you have to remember the Giants had set out the season. What was it, 6-0?
5-0.
5-0, sorry.
And then they lost 6-4.
Yeah. The inconsistency is horrible, but Giants and Jets get to start in their new stadium. They should definitely be excited for that. But I just don't get why the Jets have been so aggressive and the Giants haven't been, and really no other team has been as aggressive.
What do you mean by aggressive?
Making off-season moves, especially this year. Now there's no cap.
Yeah, well, the Giants, I mean, the Giants feel pretty comfortable. Obviously, they have Eli Manning and Brandon Jacobs. You know, they have Super Bowl rings. They've played well. The offensive line is getting older, but they obviously still have faith in them. I mean, it's the same group of guys that was the best, you know, one of the best in the NFL a few years ago. Their wide receivers are very young, so they're just hoping that they develop. The real main problem with the Giants is the linebacking. And again, the coaching is something that you have to look at too. But the linebacking is an issue. Hopefully Jerry Reese solved that issue with the signing of the two linebackers. And, you know, the Giants feel that they're okay. I mean, they do. They have a lot of weapons, so we'll see what they can do. And the Jets obviously lost a lot of guys, and they're a very young team. I mean, trying to do a lot of things. They were successful last year, trying to bring back that same success. So the Jets are very aggressive, bringing in the best guys that they can. But unfortunately, we are running low on time. Thanks for everybody who tuned in and chimed in on the chat. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, same great show. It's Sports Time with Mark and Evan on Blog Talk Radio. I am Mark Elliott.
And I'm Alan Moy. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.